Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. I'm Harmony Quiker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists and clients in unlocking the magic of psychotherapy. In season two, I'm joined by expert therapists who bring a wealth of insight into the conversation of transpersonal counseling. In this episode, I'm joined by renowned relationship and communication expert, Susan Campbell. Susan has been a corporate trainer and relationship coach for over 50 years. She's the author of 13 books, and I've been so honored to have her endorse all three of my books. In our conversation, Susan illuminates the common pitfalls of communication, and in the teaching portion, she offers us an amazing masterclass on working with couples in Gestalt therapy. I hope you enjoy this episode. As you know, I am such a huge fan of yours, and I'm so grateful, like so grateful to have this time with you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
It's a
Yeah.
pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
I first learned about you when I read your book, Getting Real. There's a sentence in this book that I quote often, and you say that we're either communicating for connection or we're communicating for control. And I would just love to hear a little bit about your journey of how you arrived at this place of offering such clear and profound just insight into human relating.
Well, I've been looking at the theme of honesty pretty much all my life. Like, why are the adults covering up what they're really feeling? Starting there. Why is this culture, because I grew up in the 50s, why is this culture so over-controlled about their image, looking good, that sort of thing? Not that that's not still around. This is where it arose in me, just watching the culture. And so the theme of honesty was the beginning of everything. Like, what is it that gets in the way of us wanting to be honest? Well, we don't think that we can handle the outcome of our honesty. So wanting to control the outcome became kind of a thing that I watched and studied, and I realized that I don't do that very much. I mean, I do it, but at the time I was kind of more innocent, and then I got into relationships where I was afraid to be myself, and that actually was the beginning of wanting to write this book, Getting Real. I myself was unsafe to tell the truth for fear of the outcome, for fear of my husband's reaction, his anger, and endless haranguing and that sort of thing. So, there are times when we probably will choose to be strategic to protect our own nervous system and so forth. But the whole idea of being so focused on the outcome that we manage all our relationships, and in a sense, we're affirming that we couldn't handle unpleasant outcomes. And so we're kind of weakening ourselves. So this was all just kind of innocent observation, not tested yet in the field. So then I started teaching honesty and having people look at what was that? What's that you're feeling right now as you're saying that? And what are you afraid might happen when you realize you're not saying certain things? And doing this with compassion and curiosity toward the self. I wasn't beating people over the head saying, you got to be honest, because I could see that the whole culture doesn't support that. So the theme, what's the other option besides trying to control the outcome? Well, it's going ahead and saying what's truly there for you. And if you have fear about it, being willing to look at that. Not necessarily immediately disclosing that, because sometimes it takes us a little inner inquiry to go, Oh, why couldn't I say that? This is my beloved life partner, that sort of thing. The idea really was relating versus controlling, not connection versus controlling. For me, relating leads to connection, but relating is revealing what's going on in you, being curious about the other person's response, being willing to hear the other person's response, because whatever it is, it will expand your capacity to handle like bad news or good news. So it all comes from this growth mindset. You don't pay attention to, am I relating or controlling, if you're not committed to your own inner development. So, I mean, that's the core of my message is if you're committed to your own inner development, whatever the outcome, you're going to learn from it. You're going to expand your capacity to really feel and relate to anything that comes your way. So for me, it's just as much about self-trust as it is about connection. Development was you know how there's kind of a polarity in authentic relating world. Are we here for connection? And I lead groups right now where, half the people are here for connection, half the people are here for learning and growth and inner development. They're not mutually exclusive at all. They go together, the way I think about it.
I love knowing that your attention at honesty was at the core. And to me, when I hear that, it just makes so much sense with the purity of which you describe relating. Like you're looking at this like thread of honesty, and that just clarified something for me that I just think is so beautiful. The other thing that I love about just this very simple sentence is that sometimes people say that they're just being honest, but they're really projecting and trying to control. And so, if the honesty is serving the relating or serving the connection, like that takes a degree of self-awareness. Like, where am I really motivated from here?
That's right. I say you can only be as honest as you are self-aware. So a lot of what people call honesty is unloading. I just got to unload this on you, and then I'll feel better. But you'll feel whatever you feel. There's no concern for the other. When you're relating, you're already connected to yourself, and you take a moment and connect to the other, and then you deliver whatever's there to deliver. And then you're always curious about on how did that land for you. So it's a circle.
And as you say it, like it sounds so simple. And I do know that your newest book is From Triggered to Tranquil. And there's a piece of nervous system regulation that goes along with this. If we're regulated, we have more capacity to be curious about someone else.
Absolutely. And finally, I'm talking about honesty, for 20 years or so. And I knew about triggering. I used to give lectures about that in the 80s. I never tried to put it all together with the honesty work. And then I had to go, the essence of all of this difficulty being honest is the fear that resides in our nervous system, often from childhood unfinished business.
Yeah, and I also believe that you teach both at like in businesses, or you did for quite a
I
while,
did.
and
That's where I was teaching trigger work. I didn't call it that then. I was calling it what to do when your buttons get pushed.
I love that to do when your buttons get pushed. I love that so much. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I'm imagining this was well received in the business world, but I would love to hear how that was for you.
Sometimes that would sort of be paired with another theme that I spoke a lot on was dealing with difficult people. And so the people you consider difficult are the people who push your buttons. And so they're not trying to be difficult because that's a very big deal in corporations. I used to say to corporation people, you know what the greatest cause of corporate stress is? Other people. And of course, they all laughed and they knew what I was talking about. So whoever's difficult for you, let's get curious about why that is. I found a way to frame some difficult material in ways that was relevant for managers and stuff like that. Those are my main audiences, is people who depended on other people to make them look either bad or good. It's hard to be a manager.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you seem to have this superpower or this talent at making high-level concepts very simple. And when I hear that, I'm imagining that you've really embodied them, like you know the core of them and have done your own work.
Yeah, makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, it really does. Really does. Yeah. Is there some practice or modality that you love the most that has served you as a person the most?
Well, in terms of things you can name, Gestalt therapy. You know, I was in the room with Fritz Perls sometime. I wouldn't say, that he was my mentor. I was scared to death of him.
How did I not know this
Trying to
even?
be invisible, I'll tell you. You know, I'd look at these other people, doing dream work or whatever, and go, whoa, But they'd been in more of those kind of groups. Gestalt is great, and it's very much just feeling what you feel in the present moment, and that appeals to me. And that's a lot related to contributions from Buddhism. Fritz used to call Gestalt therapy Jewish Zen.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. I had heard
Yeah.
concentration therapy, but I hadn't
He's
heard
called it
Jewish
a lot of
Zen.
things. I mean, he said a lot of things, and I didn't hear him say that, but I saw a video of it, something like it.
Yeah, and self-responsibility is such a core element of Gestalt, and that seems to be a core piece of this that you offer with relating and communication
Yeah.
also, like having responsibility over what I think and what I feel and what I want.
Yeah, and you really can't get to the deepest level of self-responsibility until you're able to own your own trigger reactions and not take the stories like, I'm being disrespected, I'm being abandoned. Those are serious and important stories, but they're not true. They're left over from unfinished business, usually somewhere back there.
I'm wondering what's been this throughout your career. Are you retired now, actually?
No.
No, okay. I thought I had seen you write
No, but
something about that.
I've cut back to two clients a day.
So you're still seeing
Oh, I
clients
went down to
daily.
four, then I went down to two. I'm taking the summers off for the most part. So, semi-retired.
I was just wondering, like, what has been the most meaningful part of your work for you?
The trigger work.
The trigger work.
That's what I feel is most important in the culture. People are
Why?
getting triggered by each other and they don't even know it. I'll probably talk about this in the second segment, but a couple comes in and says, you don't talk to me enough. You're always silent when I ask questions. And the other person is like, well, whatever I say, you don't like it. You're always complaining. And so they'll come in with a presenting issue. And if you stay on that level with people and don't realize that there are some real sensitive fears under those accusations that need to be addressed and loved back into wholeness, let's just say for shorthand.
And so supporting people and understanding their trigger and like really coming back to what's true for them is that.
Yeah, because so many people talk over their triggers. I mean, most of us can be a little triggered and still make sense, but you're not having a real conversation when two people are kind of thinking, well, you should do this differently because it'll make me feel good, that type of thing.
So true. Yeah. Like people keep talking and yet they can't find the common ground or find the solution or the point of connection because they're so stuck in their stories and their meaning making.
Yeah, they're not connected enough to themselves in that moment because they're triggered. If they were more connected to themselves, they could speak from their true needs, from a vulnerable place, let themselves, really be seen without you're the problem. And then that diffuses the defensiveness. And you can have real conversations, but it gets heated, especially in couples.
I hear from new therapists often that when couples are, really triggered and really volatile, it's easy for them to sort of the therapist to lose their seat and not know how to like stay engaged. I'm wondering if you have like a tip or some,
Yeah, I
yeah,
do.
what do you do?
Generally, I mean, I'll hear what people are there for. Usually I get each person to share. And then I say, there could be times when things get heated in here, and it winds up that we're talking past each other. We're in some kind of heightened state where we can't really be present to what's really going on. I want to pause. I want to not allow that to happen. It's not good for you. You're just digging your hole deeper. Do you kind of know what I mean? I mean, I'll take a little moment here, but you know what I mean? That you could go out of here and you could say, man, that's the same argument we have at home. I don't allow that in here. I need a contract where you, if I say the word pause, we all stop talking, and then I'll guide us to just connect inside for a little bit. And then I'll check in and see how we're doing. And then we'll get back to whatever we need to talk about.
I love that so much. I even can just like feel that deep in my belly as you're talking, just the sense of safety that that creates in the container of the clarity of that we are here to do something different and to find a different way.
So it takes a certain dominance, willing to be dominant as a counselor, a therapist, really to own some of your power there. And that's hard for new counselors. It just
It can be. And it's interesting because, in the videos of Fritz, like with my students, when they watch the Gloria videos, they see him as so directive and like so,
Oh,
not how they
Gloria.
want to be. And that's not how I practice Gestalt therapy. And
No.
so, yeah, it sounds like that's not how you are either. But there's a moment for directiveness, but there's really, I think, a need to know why. And if we're in touch with our why, we're being directive here. It really does serve the connection and the contact.
I'm remembering that film. No, don't try to be like Fritz. Plus, he was a performer. He was doing it in groups, and I'll bet you what he did one-on-one was quite different, although I don't know for a fact.
Did you ever have a session with him?
No. I
I had a mentor when I was in graduate school who studied with Fritz also, and it's just I like hearing like sort of the stories that kind of linger on. I'd love to know if you have just any advice for new therapists. I hear a lot of therapists talk about, feeling overwhelmed, so much compassion fatigue with having so much access to information and the suffering around the world, and just wondering if there's anything you would say to them.
Notice what you're feeling in each moment and try not to get too much into worries and thinking about what's going to happen next. I really think the key to everything is what I call surfing life rather than trying to control life, especially as everything speeds up. Everything's so unpredictable, and this may not have to do with you necessarily just as a therapist. This is a lifestyle, a commitment to grow in your ability to just like feel this moment and what's going on in here and what am I sensing around me. There's a lot that's not in our control right now, and there's a lot of social pressure to be this way or that way, to be outraged or to not look at the news. I mean, there's so much of that going on. I just let that go. That's just the mental noise of a bunch of people trying to live together and make some kind of common sense out of it. Things don't make sense, although don't stop trying to make sense for yourself.
I love that. To me, it is such a gestalt answer about really trusting the present moment and coming back into connection and to contact with yourself and being with what's here right now. Yeah, surfing the waves of life. Is that what you said? I love that. Thank you. Join us in the Awaken Therapist online classroom, where my guest offers a master class in their area of expertise. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. The Awaken Therapist Level 1 certification is starting September 2025. In this 6-month training, you'll learn how to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Join us in exploring deeper dimensions in your work with clients with less burnout. To learn more, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com.